to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Fashion Furniture across from River Park and by Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
Are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, welcome. It's the Zone Show on a Friday here at Fashion Furniture. It's the January clearance sale, Big Cat, going on right here, El Paso Blackstone. Everything in the store, I think it's the January clearance sale.
Oh man,
Fashion Furniture.
Now, is this the best time, Nick, or should I wait? Should I wait a couple days?
This is by far the best. Come on down here today, this weekend, and get the January clearance sale going for your house. They got the recliners on sale. Everything, the tables and chairs, you name it.
I got my name on a recliner, the one that has that really aggressive massage in the back.
The one Matt lives on, the Cozia.
Yeah, they had to, poor Matt, they had to kick him out because he was spending so much time. He'd drive over here during lunch.
Yeah, well, so did I.
Something's
wrong. I can't deny that.
Well, you guys have problems. But me, on the other hand, I come in and actually buy stuff. So that's something I wanted. I gravitated towards that. And then also, for all you guys out there that are getting yelled at by your wives because you snore too much, don't go out and buy that big contraption. Come on over to Fashion Furniture, head over and see Boom Boom.
Mikey Boom Boom Mancini Dupree.
Absolutely.
You know, they have I'm
talking about a mattress, by the way.
Yeah. I saw one of the mattresses that Mike Boom Boom Mancini has next door where you could jump on the one side, have a glass of wine, and the wine doesn't even budge. How good is that?
Man, wine, a little caviar there, maybe some champagne to go along with that. I should refer to that as sparkling wine, Nick, not champagne.
Okay, you're in one of those kind of moods. It's a Big Cat. It's a Pag Meter. Matty J will join us soon. He's having some beautiful, the Chicos. Thank you to Mario Vitucci, downtown to Visadero Blackstone, the original of the Chicos. The rigatoni today. We got a little chicken parmesan. We got the salad.
What else do you want?
Forget about it, huh?
Forget about it.
Yeah, so
you know, the only way to get Matty J down here, too, Nikki, is you got to get that. If you put food out there, he's like a bear going out in the trap. He just starts smelling. His nose kind of reeks up a little bit, and off he goes, man. He'll be there any minute.
You know him already, don't you?
Absolutely.
He's a food guy. I don't think he eats at home.
But you're not.
That's true. I got a whole plate of rigatoni right now. Thank you to Mario. Remember, you can also go to Sean Van Ness, Sean First, Kings Canyon and Clovis Avenue, and, of course, the original. You don't want to cook tonight. Make sure you get it to go at the Chicos or dine in. The Chicos is one of the great traditions of Fresno. They've been around since 1956. Thank you. Also, Helena Agra Enterprises. Helena, a big sponsor for high school. And thank you, Nick, and your team for being the local guys, for doing all our local stuff. Local, we had a niche in this station. When we do talk local, no one else does. Why not? And thank you to Helena.
You're welcome. We appreciate it. We really enjoy spending time with the schools. And, again, as I mentioned last week, we're really going to ramp up and reach out and try to get out towards more of the rural areas and actually have the show out and about, you know, try to do a traveling road show. So we Ruthers and all those schools that are within the Helena geography, as I call it. San Joaquin Valley is such a huge agricultural community that there's so many kids that their parents either work on farms or they own farms or affiliated in some way with the agriculture area, and it's something that Helena enjoys doing is giving back.
No question, and I will be at Kerman tonight. I'm going to be emceeing the Kerman baseball dinner. So once this show's over, you'll be at the big Clovis West basketball game. I'm heading to Kerman to help out the baseball. We're out and about.
You're everywhere, Meter.
That's what we do. So today, we're going to have roundtable talks. You can call the show, 844-940-ESPN. Matt's going to join us, like we said. We're going to talk a little maybe Super Bowl talk, get you fired up for the big game. I want to talk Hall of Fame talk. What's it take? Why do some guys? Bill Cowher gets in, Nick. But Tom Flores doesn't. Tom Flores is the only player. He was a player, assistant coach, and a head coach to win a Super Bowl. I don't understand that, but we'll talk about that today. Also, I listened to Tony D and Andrew Martin driving in. I was on Madera out there, and they were talking about what if Boise State left the Mountain West, what would happen? I totally 100% agree with Andrew Martin. Boise State is a top 20 team, top 25 team every year. They leave the Mountain West. Right now, we might as well just call it the Big West. Let's invite Cal Poly, Sacramento State. Because Boise State leaves. I totally agree with Andrew Martin. Your feeling if Boise State leaves?
I wouldn't refer to it as the Big West. I mean, you're talking, you know, you got one school. Yeah, what does that school do for the current Mountain West? I mean, they do a lot, and Mountain West does a lot to keep them there for a lot of reasons that you and I are. We already assume what that is, but there's probably other things going on there too. But I mean, you're still talking about schools that are involved in the Mountain West that have, you know, good facilities, Nick, and you know, they play multiple sports. And the Big West is, you know, you don't have that football side, the Division I football, and most of those schools, if they're 1AA or something. So I wouldn't get down that crazy, but it would definitely put some strain on the conference in terms of across the country recruiting. You know, these kids like to talk about what conference they play in, the strength of that conference, watching those teams play on television. Boise State has a lot of TV games. Fresno State has a lot of TV games. But, you know, as of recent, I mean, there's been some good schools starting to ramp up in the Mountain West, Nick. I mean, Boise State's always been the king for a while, but I still think there's a lot of things. Look at San Diego State. I'm just referring on the basketball side. I mean, look at them. They're a top five team right now. I mean, so let's throw that out there for a while. It's just any day. It's about the coaching, really, what it comes down to. If the Mountain West can attract coaching and get certain coaches and they can win in programs, you can build another Boise State anywhere.
How?
Well, it's the recruiting side of it.
I think Boise State is the big brother of the Mountain West.
Well, I didn't say they weren't the big brother.
I'm just asking if Boise State left. I'm not talking about anything else. What would be the conference? Because I think people think of Mountain West. They think of Boise State and Fresno State, San Diego State. They don't think anybody else. Vegas has to step up to the plate someday. They got this $1 trillion stadium going in. They better make a stand now with sports, right?
Yeah.
San Diego State's making a move. I think they've been underachieving for the last 30 years. We're talking San Diego. How in the world are they not, just like Texas, how in the world they're not in the top 25 every year? How a kid doesn't want to go play at San Diego, I'll never know. So I think they underachieve. I think Boise State overachieves. We're talking Idaho. What else is there to do in Boise?
Well, that's the other side, too. I mean, we talk about San Diego State, and you mentioned San Diego State, and, you know, hey, who doesn't want to go to San Diego State? They actually have fans that show up to their games on the basketball side, even before they were a top five team. It's packed all the time. We talk about that. It's repeating what we know already. But, yeah, Boise State, it's in Idaho. What are you going to do in Idaho in the wintertime? Because all these sports start up in the wintertime. How good are they in baseball?
Well, they're coming.
Okay.
It's a new thing.
How's the Mountain West overall in baseball if you take them out?
Well, I don't think the Mountain West is good for baseball. I've been saying it forever. The bat and ball sports need to be playing in the Big West. Get the rivalry going. I don't think the fans here give a hoot about New Mexico State. They don't care about Air Force playing baseball against, but they would against Fullerton.
You mean New Mexico?
New Mexico. What did I say?
State.
Oh, sorry.
They're playing the WAC, I think.
I think they
That's a tragedy there. I think the WAC is tough right now.
Well, I think we need to be playing with California schools with baseball and softball. Then you're going to start getting the crowds going. Who's coming in this week? Fullerton. Oh, let's go. Right now, who's playing? Oh, Air Force is coming in. We love Air Force.
So you say separate just the baseball.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, so do you think it's something similar to what Hawaii does, let's say, when
Hawaii
they play.
Hawaii does it. Why can't we do it?
Hawaii plays in the Big West in basketball, but they play everything else.
We're already losing our shorts in baseball and softball. Why not make it a little more feasible and play California teams where the fans can actually get into it? Long Beach State's coming in this weekend. Oh, I can't wait. Who's coming? Who? Colorado? Oh, I don't know. It's just not the same, the feel for it. Now, football's another world. Basketball, it's a great league, right?
It's a good league. It's competitive. As of recent, things are – I mean, you look at last year, I mean, Nevada was across the country. It really brought a lot of fans to watch Nevada on national television as they were ranked, and they just fall off the face. You know, that's the thing with these programs is that you got to have some kind of consistency with what they do. Boise State has probably been the most consistent than the rest of them. So you have every now and then. But San Diego State, if you look at their basketball program, they've been winning for a while now since Steve Fisher was down there, and then he kind of retired. But they've kept – he's around the program. The question is, if Steve Fisher left and he wasn't around to help with the recruiting and having that physical presence, would that change things? How important is the coach? Yeah, I know your original question. We're getting off, but I think this is good because we always try to talk about one item and then other things start popping up around you. The baseball side of it, they compete real well with the Big West, and that probably you probably get a lot of fans. I agree with you on that. There's no question about
less
it.
Less airplane rides.
Yeah, for right? sure, for sure.
Let's get a bus. Now, San Jose State, Fresno State, that's a great rivalry because it's close.
It's been like that forever, right?
Oh, forever.
Now, how long, Nick? As long as you can remember.
Since day one, Abe Lincoln went to high school. Yeah. That's been a long time.
Well, a lot of those folks that remember those days are not kind of in those seats as much as they used to. So the newer fan, as we call them, they probably don't understand that tradition as much because San Jose hasn't been, you know, up there in terms of the strength and the power that Fresno State has been in the
So email recent. Blowing up. Majority people agree with us about Boise State because I'll say it. Boise State's been a top 25 team forever. If they're, you know, majority of the time, sometimes top 20. Every year, consistent. Now, Fresno State's just learning that game. They're getting back into it. No one else really in the Mountain West has been a top 25 team. So, sorry. But if Boise State left, that'd be a disaster for the Mountain West. And I think Matt says that every week, Fresno State's got to start looking, just in case, have the feelers open. And maybe someday we do have a Pac-16. Maybe we get involved and have – can you imagine if we were ever in the Pac-16? Let's say they added more teams. And look at the schedule. And Fresno State, by the way, is going to be playing Michigan now on the schedule.
Yeah. Well, I'll be retired by then, I think, was when those dates came out. That trying to get everybody motivated on what's going to happen in 2028 or something. I don't know. But, you know, I was thinking, too, I mean, there's schools like that play in the Big Sky, for example, that have really good facilities that I think are on the verge of moving into a bigger conference. If you look at both Montana State and Montana, that they play in the Big Sky. They, I don't know if you've ever been to those facilities, but they pack their place.
Tell me, you were just there.
It's Division One. It's a Division One type of setting, from locker rooms to community support to the college town. The feel of that, both Bozeman being in Montana State and Missoula for University of Montana. Those schools there, I think, are schools that would be nice additions to conferences like you're mentioning, you know, to the Mountain West. If you had to replace a team like Boise, would they be like a Boise right away? No. They play Division I AA in football, but like I said, they do a very good job competing in that conference there. Fresno, I mean, you take a look at facilities and stuff. We talk about facilities all the time, and you mentioned Pac-10, Pac-12. How would Fresno fare in that market there if they were to move into that market, that conference? You think that would pack the Bulldog Stadium at that point? Would that be the ticket that Fresno State needs? And people talk about this all the time, but to me, is that really going to stem? And you're going to get all these people to show up. You're going to play every time because you're playing UCLA, you're playing USC. Is that what Fresno State needs? But traveling out to Colorado State, and like you mentioned, maybe you bring up a good point. You're not getting that fan base because nobody cares about those schools. They're not top teams all the time, so it doesn't jazz you. It's not sexy, right? It's not sexy. But getting all these California teams that we have so many of, and then the rest of them, Utah, Colorado, there's still a lot of connection in the San Joaquin Valley with a lot of those schools.
I think Jerry Tarkanian and Pat Hill spoiled us. Jerry was playing the big boys, remember?
But it didn't matter what Jerry played. It was Jerry Tarkanian.
Yeah, but he played some big boys.
No question, but yeah. I'm just saying it didn't matter who he played. He brought in big boys, but he also brought in five-star players, regardless of what you thought about them. They were five-star recruits, and they had a lot of reputation coming into Fresno. So that it goes back to, you know, we had a girls, a women's team and a men's team both. We used to pack the women's games. You know, before Coach Wiggins got there, I can't remember.
Coach Stacy Johnson.
Johnson, yeah, she had that team going, playing real well, and you know, there was a lot of fans back then. And I don't know if there was a combination of what was going on with the men's side that helped out the women, or vice versa. But that's back, and that wasn't that long ago. If you think about it, that really wasn't that long ago. That was in the Save Mart era.
So if the track, high school compared to Fresno State. If the track tonight, the boys or the girls are playing at 5:30, the boys are playing at 7, why doesn't the Mountain West do that? Save a little money on the bus ride over. Have both teams come together, same an airplane ride, especially the girls, because the girls aren't bringing any money. And let's throw it out there. Can't they?
The women aren't bringing any money in, and neither are the men.
Okay, there you go. But why can't we do a doubleheader one night and everyone gets to see them both?
Like I always say, I think these are great ideas. I think that, you know, your listeners all know that when you talk about these things, Pags, that you're not arguing about the fact that nobody's there. You're trying to figure out throwing as much as you can against the wall, pasta, and how much pasta do you want to throw against the wall and see what sticks. And everybody has these ideas about that, and I think it's good to chat about it. The question is that the opportunity to sit in a room someplace where these individuals who actually make these decisions, what prevents them from doing that? And I'm sure there's something there. I don't know if it's schooling, classes, or something that prevents them from doing the doubleheader. Because I agree with you. I think it'd be great.
I think
especially on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, play a doubleheader shot. Girls are playing, and then the men, the women, and then the men would be great. We watched a lot of football this year, and a lot of games were on TV, and a lot of the Mountain West games, crowds were horrible, absolutely horrible. So
I tell you what.
I would guess Boise State's going, what are we doing here? We're not getting anything out of playing in the Mountain West. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, so if you think Boise State left the Mountain West, would they be successful in a different higher conference, like Big 12? Or
I don't think Big 12 wants them.
Big 10?
I don't know if they want them either.
Who wants them? Who wants Boise State?
I'm not sure who would want them.
Okay, well, that's the question. Maybe that's what's keeping Boise State in the Mountain West, besides the money that they claim that they're trying to keep them around with.
They are the big player of the brunch.
They are.
So that's why they're
staying.
But
are we talking solely football? And I know football is the money, the breadwinner. We know that. We know that that's what's putting money into a lot of the other sports in the Mountain West.
They get a good crowd for basketball.
Yes, and they've got great facilities.
They've got great facilities, and they're on the map to be.
So I'm going
to
go by and see Coach Hutt tomorrow over at Fresno State, and I'm going to ask him that question about the doubleheader thing and just see what I'm sure they've chatted about it or whatever. Just out of curiosity, what has anybody chatted about something like this? And if so, and it got vetoed, why? You know, what's preventing something like that from going down? Now, I do think that I know for a fact that preseason they do doubleheaders. Preseason games they do, because I know that because my daughter plays in the Mountain West. So they they'll play, you know, a one Division II team, and then the men will play a Division II team, but it's never the same team that's coming in, men's and women's.
Right.
It's two different teams, but they're stacked.
I just think it's a win-win for everybody. Like you just said, they're not making any money anyway. Here's the other one that just baffles my mind. There's a lot of times Fresno State men's, and I don't know about the women, they can't even go practice at the Save Mart Center because, I don't know, Bruno Mars is setting up or something. They have to go practice in the north. Can you imagine you can't practice? Vance Wahlberg's Clovis West team, well, we can't practice in our gym because we've got badminton today.
Well, Bruno Mars pays for the
– well, whatever the case may be.
I'm just saying.
They don't even have locker rooms at
the
same
– but that's priority right now and over there. That's where the cash flow is coming. Plus, they don't control that, right? So they don't control what goes on in that Save Mart Center. It's being managed by somebody else, correct?
But how about this idea? Do they own the Bulldog Stadium, Fresno State? I think they do.
Yes, they do.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I don't
nice?
Know if they own the concession oh. part of it, but they own the state. Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice to have an outside Bruno Mars or whoever comes in, Taylor Swift, I don't care who's coming in, outside with 40,000 people at Bulldog Stadium.
Talking about a Super Bowl show at
I'm talking
Bulldog
about
Stadium.
A big-time band coming in outside on a beautiful night. Well, why aren't we doing that more?
Because you got to pay that band a lot of money to show up, and you but better hope that people show up.
But they're going to Saymart Center. We're packing in at 15,000 to 17,000.
But you got luxury suites, and people are living. I mean, it's just a different feel. Not everybody watches football games, you know, and even though it's a popular event, is it going to draw you there? Is that what you're saying? Is the concert going to draw you to the football game?
I think a big name. No, I'm talking just the band alone. You're going to go buy tickets
and
go watch the Eagles come in or something. Elton John.
Yeah. I'm not a concert guy, so I don't know.
Heck yeah, they would. Yeah. You brought Bruno Mars in
town? You would go to Lawrence Welk or something if he was coming.
I think he died 28 years
Did
ago.
Did he,
I'm
Mr. Bubbles?
Sure. No, but I would say if Elton John or Billy Joel or Bruno Mars or somebody like that, Michael Blue Blaze coming in Saymart Center, it's going to be sold out, packed. I would bet on a nice night, you want to see a nice band outside? Oh, that would be awesome. That's a great way for us to stay and make even more money.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching a hockey game when it's about minus 50 and it's outside.
Well, those people are religious people, and they love hockey. They're going to do that. The other one I want, you're a Raider fan, and I know you can't be happy about the Raiders.
I'm always happy.
I mean, about the Niners being in the Super Bowl.
I'm okay. I'm a Bay Area guy, so Bay Area guy. I might not be a hardcore Niner fan, Nikki, but I'm okay with them being in there. Like, let's say the Rams were there last year. I was really bothered by that. I'm not as bothered by the 49ers.
Okay, that's true. Good point. So we've said since the 70s, since Auburn had Frank Thomas, Bo Jackson, Frank Thomas, Bo Jackson, and Charles Barkley. Football, baseball, basketball. Three stars playing at the same time. Fresno State has the three. But let me ask you, we got Paul George, Aaron Judge. Has Devontae Adams taken over the reins over Derek Carr? Because they both played at the same time. I'm going to say yes. Devontae Adams is one of the top wide receivers in football. All I'm going to say again, Fresno State marketing people, I want giant banners. Put Derek in there. Put Devontae. We've got stars up, and I want little kids, little future Bulldogs going, "Hey, Daddy, I didn't know Aaron Judge played here. Look at that." I want them so big that airplanes can't land. They have to go around Bulldog, Cedar, Barstow.
So what you're saying is that we don't have any banners that are out there with any of these alumni that have played here that have gone on and been very successful in professional sports.
Nothing. Yeah. But do you think Devontae has taken over the top three? Has he beat out Derek Carr for that role?
You know what they say about quarterbacks, and, you know, that's hard. You know, everybody gravitates towards that position, and that's a hard position to play because you're always getting rocks chucked at you and Band-Aids pulled, and every play the camera's on you. You cannot escape that. But, man, Devontae Adams is really good. He is really good, and that's going to be a hard one to argue, Nikki. It is for sure.
Let's take a quick break. Hey, if you want to call JoJo in the studio, Boise State, if they leave, what do you guys think? 844-940-ESPN. Also, is Devontae Adams, is he taking over the reins of the big three at Fresno State? We got a lot to talk about. We're also going to talk about today the road to Sullivan Arena. Who are the top teams in the open division? And we saw a little team play the other night, Nick, Bakersfield Christian, and they got Big Ben. We'll talk about him as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Zone Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Welcome back. You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, JoJo in the studio, 844-940 ESPN is our number. Thank you to Helena Agra Enterprises. There are local superstars, Andy Lowe and Mosby and Nick Anderson, and thank you guys because you're part of local. Pag Meter loves you, 940 ESPN loves you, and the kid, you're giving back to the kids.
Well, if the Pag Meter loves us, it's done.
Giddy up.
I'm out. I'm going to go grab a pizza and a keg of beer, I guess, and just go sit on the beach.
You'll do that anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to my buddy, Bryce Fantasia up in Modesto. Him and his team are headed to their game tonight. Modesto Christian, good friends of mine. Love those guys.
So you like them again?
I love those guys. Always do. Come on. There Bryce knows that. Bryce, I know you're smiling right now, big fella.
Well, I watched that game.
Know, huh?
Well, I watched that game, and there was a lot of trash talking
going on. There's nothing going on there. That's behind us. I'm a windshield guy, Nicky boy. rear-view mirror here. But Bryce wants to know what your thoughts are on that open division, that rankings that you mentioned a few minutes ago. Who are the top four teams right now if everything ended today?
You know what? It is so wide open. Of course, Clovis West is very beatable. We saw that the other night against Bakersfield Christian. But the thing is, there's not a big guy like Bakersfield Christian has around here that just dominates. I watched Modesto Christian, and they don't play physical ball like Bakersfield Christian does.
Say it twice.
Bakersfield Christian does. They have some big men, but they're not physical. They're not old school. I'm going to take the rebound. I'm going to take the paint away. Not like Ben
Jurosic.
Jurosic was.
Jurosic.
I'm sorry, Ben Jurosic.
The future Stanford Cardinal tight end.
He's a tight end, but he could play basketball if he really worked at it.
He's impressive. I walked up to him after the game and gave him a high five. I said, "Man, I enjoyed watching you play. Physical, shot the ball well, had some great moves in the paint." And you're right, Nicky boy. There's not a whole lot of post players in the central section that I can think of. We're really shorthanded when it comes to that. Now, Modesto Christian, Bryce is shaking his head right now. He's like, "No, we're okay. We got the big fellas down low. We've got those guys."
They're not down low,
but
though.
I
want to see them
because
post
they're
up.
Athletic. You need to be at down low if you have a big fella that can get down, rebound for you, but he can also.
Why is that part of the game died? It's gone.
Hey, Hoosiers is a long time ago too, big guy. Come on, we're not playing Hoosier ball anymore.
Matt's walking in now. I got to ask him as well.
He's got a purple. Matt's got a purple jacket on.
I don't have a Madera South.
You know, you're so needy.
Like
you ask everybody for everything.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Well, Nick, you don't coach track and field with the greatest school district on the planet, Madera Unified, with the best superintendent, Todd Lyle.
He's looking for a raise. He's preaching for a raise.
Marty Bitter, head of all athletics over the district. Of course, my great athletic director, Andrea Devine.
Hey, if it wasn't for me.
She gets us this outfit. My point is this. Yeah. We get outfitted in these. Okay. Our district takes care of us. And they allow me to come out and visit you knuckleheads. And, oh, by the way, I just want to make a few points, okay, because you're going to talk about your top, because Bryce out there, Modesto Christian, they want to know, and I'm with you on that. But let's just go back a minute. First of all, let me make some observations. I love driving to come see you because I get to hear the show. I get to hear what we sound like because it's very similar to The Rise on Thursday, what you do on Friday.
Boy, a little
Nick
more hot fudge.
A little bit more. But how about this concept? I don't know. I hand it to you. You guys have commercial breaks? I mean, you can go 30 minutes without a commercial break. I don't know if there's another show in town. Thank you, Helena.
We are the
commercial break. That's number one. Good stuff. Yeah. Number four, how can I respond to 400 different topics that you're going to come up with in a matter of 30 minutes? But here's the three that I want to – here's the three topics I'd like to chime in on where you're on to something. One, I agree with Pag Meter 100%. If I could go 110, if that was allowed, I'd go that far. How about this? When was the last time we had an outdoor concert in this town?
Thank you.
You were right on the money. I remember in San Diego where I grew up going to Jack Murphy Stadium, seeing Foghat, AC/DC, you name it, there's concerts going on, Cool and the Gang. When was the last time we've had a Fresno State open up the football field, that place would be packed.
I watched Sting and Police at Radcliffe one time, packed with Journey.
Sting with Police or Sting and Police?
Journey and Sting were there together.
So, number one. There has to be something, as Nick Anderson said, right on the money. That's what I've been talking about forever. The things that are obvious, clearly we don't know, because behind closed doors, they have to have a reason why Bulldog Football Stadium hasn't had a summer or a spring concert series to raise money for Fresno State Athletics. Basically become the promoter. Nick said, Anderson said perfectly, well, what's going to cost to get people? You talked Elton John. Let's just use a Matchbox 20. What's going to take to get Matchbox 20 to put that group together, bring them into Bulldog Stadium?
I agree.
And you guys get the profits. I will guarantee you this much. As Tim McDonald and I guaranteed each other when World Sports Cafe was built, and he had to dig into his pocket for over $1 million to make sure we got it built, I assured him, you will get return on your investment. Because when they see this structure built, people are going to come from everywhere to see it. We might only last a couple years. But that first year is going to be bonkers. Just like an outdoor concert at Bulldog Stadium, we'd be off the charts.
That's very rare that we agree.
I agree. Okay, number two, observation. That was one of your topics. Okay. You could have gone a whole show on that topic. But
we are.
In pure bag meter fashion, you dropped it and went on to the next thing.
Because he makes – you know, okay. I have a – my mind is gone when you sent something
else. It's where you ate last night.
Okay, so you brought it up. Seriously, you might want to write these things down. I don't know if that means anything to us anymore because we do the same thing on Thursday. But that's a great observation. Outdoor concert, number two. This thing about billboards and signage that you've been talking about for 32 years now, I've been on board for about 10 of them. Let's talk about Paul George. First, Auburn, you're right. You know, they had Bo. They had Charles Barkley. Frank Thomas. But we have Devontae Adams, Paul George, the big bopper in New York.
Aaron Judge,
and, of course, the quarterback.
Yeah, but we have to have three.
Derek Carr.
That's Devontae.
No, you don't have to have three. That's my point is this, on that topic. Shut up with this. Hey, well, does Devontae take over Carr? How about this concept? We're making four banners now because Devontae Adams came along late in the game. Carr was already on your Mount Rushmore. Don't you dare think about removing him and putting Devontae Adams. Are you kidding me right now? That's observation number two. Observation.
I think that was three.
No, there's three that I pulled out of the 400 topics you had going. I'm picking out three for you to zero in on.
It's like a Tony question.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And the number three topic, this idea that Boise State, which isn't going to happen, but it was talked about, leaves the conference. What happens to the Mountain West? Well, first of all, Mountain West is doomed. And let me give you the example that sits with me growing up in Phoenix, Arizona. People don't remember this. Guys in our age group do. You know, Arizona Wildcats and Arizona State, they were in a little conference. Nick Anderson said it. They were in the WAC. They were in a conference that was, I believe, was the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, something
Which
to that effect.
Which is Big West now, right?
And there was a school. No. My point is this.
There's still a WAC.
They, you know, Arkansas State plays in it. Schools that don't even belong in the West. Either way, the WAC conference had something.
Chicago State.
When I grew up in Arizona. We were battling with BYU. I'm an Arizona State Sun Devil. Okay,
are you?
I Frank Cush. I went to his camps as a kid. I was going to be a Sun Devil my whole life.
You couldn't play there?
No, I decided
went to camp
to
as well.
There you go.
Orange County.
Okay, shut up for a minute. I'm talking. Don't
Chap,
try.
Chap.
Hey, okay. I want to get the last part of it out. Then you guys can go ahead. It's your show.
What'd you have lunch today?
I didn't yet.
Okay.
I had no lunch.
That's right.
We did a Mules. Our district did a
caffeine?
Thing for youth. The youth, our elementary school. Elementary.
Have you had caffeine today?
You have to speak. Can I get these comments in, please?
Okay,
and I can be shut up for the rest of the show. Third, you're talking about comparison. Everybody wants to know what will happen to the Mountain West, our beloved Fresno State Bulldogs, if something like that were to ever happen. Boise State leaves. Well, guess what happened? Arizona and Arizona State left that conference. They got accepted into the Pac-12 conference. There was a town in El Paso, Texas. They had a little club there called UTEP football. UTEP football was in that same conference with Arizona, Arizona State. They were a rival. They used to play tremendous football. I'm talking about NFL guys all over that roster. The second Arizona and Arizona State left that conference, the entire landscape of UTEP, BYU, all those guys went fleeing other places. San Diego State was part of that. They became something different. And the landscape changed, and UTEP's never been the same. If you want to tear down our beloved Bulldogs, if Boise State leaves and we sit around with our hands under our cheeks, wondering about what we're going to do next and not being proactive, Fresno State sports, athletics, I'm talking football, could be damaged beyond compare, I'm telling you.
And I would guess San Diego State would want to leave after that.
Absolutely. They all want to leave. Don't kid yourself. Everybody wants to go.
Who would be more attractive if Boise State left? Which school would be more attractive to go on to, let's say, a Pac-12?
San Diego State.
Yes.
By the way, bigger market.
Right.
Just demographic.
That's all.
It's San Diego.
Bigger airport, easier to get in and out of, all that stuff adds up. But I am so sick and tired, and I said it too, so I'm going to blame myself to allow you to go on this tangent. Would we get off the Boise State kissing session here? Outside of football, what the heck have they done to deserve all this accolades?
I tried to say
Thank
that.
Thank you.
I agree with you. And I think we agree with that, too. And we talked about it. But we all know that football pays bills, Matt.
It does. But it's not like I've been to that place.
They're
and by
not
the
too
way,
bad in basketball.
By the way.
They will be good at baseball once they get going. And softball,
you
good.
Say that all the time about once they get going. What does
no,
that
they're
mean?
Not getting going anywhere. Don't kid yourself. But I'm telling you right now. The other comment by my rocket scientist friends. What's there to do? What's there to do in Idaho? Idaho might be the number two or three best state in the entire union.
So you can fish there.
Fishing, outdoors.
Potatoes.
They have I don't know what political side you're on, but they kind of take care of their state.
Yes.
That state is an immaculate condition.
Can you get Wi-Fi there?
You can get whatever you want.
Present in Idaho.
Oh.
The three, number three states. By the way, California, the mass exodus is all over the board. You can't get a U-Haul. If you're leaving the state of California, you might as well get ready to pay about four times what you used to pay about 10 years ago. Everyone's leaving. And where are they going, my friends? Idaho.
You know, the
Texas.
And Tennessee.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
no.
Tennessee's number three.
No, they're not. Dude, you get off Tennessee. Tennessee might be 11 or 12.
Tennessee's on fire right now.
Texas, Idaho,
Tennessee,
Oregon,
and Tennessee.
And a little bit Arizona exodus. They're getting out of California, so stop bashing Idaho, by the way. That's a great state.
I love Idaho. I'm going there next week.
Now he's
Montana's not bad, by the way, either.
See? Okay.
Montana, Montana State, you were right on the money there, Nick Anderson. Thank you very
much. So
what
happens?
They'd be accepted in the Mountain West and do well.
Absolutely.
But you said it for the last 10 years. Fresno State's got to start looking just in case Boise State leaves.
I guarantee you they're looking. Okay. Someone over there is listening right now, and they're laughing, and they're calling us all kinds of names.
Not me.
But they're looking at each other thinking, how do they know? We've been talking about trying to get out of the Mountain West for 15 years. They have to be forward-thinking. So, you get caught watching the paint dry, and some master coup like that hits where Boise State leaves.
And number four, you didn't say it, but shouldn't Fresno State baseball, softball be playing in the California Big West.
Well, that's number four in your mind. Yeah. That's about the 400th topic you hit. I couldn't catch up to that one. Yes, you've said that. Baseball should, the bat and ball sports, keep them here on
number
this.
Five.
Yeah.
The doubleheaders with men and women.
That's a no-brainer, and Nick's going to find out because Nick's going to travel. See, I was listening. Nick's going to travel over, talk to Coach Hudson. He's going to find out, like, why aren't we playing the girls and the boys doubleheaders? Yeah. Oh, that's too obvious. That's too easy. What is going on that we don't know
because
about?
Because if you go to San Jose State and watch a game, those supporters there, they go to every game. They go to the women's game, and then I see them in the stands when I stream. You know, if I watch the men play or whatever, I can see them there. So they are ticket holders for both. I'm curious on how many people that hold men's season tickets actually go to the women's games as well, and vice versa. If you have season tickets for the women, do you go to the men's games as well?
There you go.
Well, I'm going to the game tomorrow.
We didn't answer the
and
the question.
I urge you guys to go to the game tomorrow, too. It's a 5 p.m. tip-off at the Save Mart Center, and I'm going to go a little early because I've got a little press pass because I'm kind of a big deal.
You're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, so, Bag Meter
Nick's
has
got
a,
his tournament. He's Bag got the Bag Meter first annual
tomorrow.
Basketball tournament.
Maybe I'll bring Matt with
me.
We'll go drink some adult beverages.
Thank you to the Doghouse Grill. The Bag Meter tournament at Fresno Christian starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes all the way tomorrow night until 10 o'clock.
But so before you go on that rampage, I am getting a lot of messages that are saying, you guys left us hanging
Same
here.
Same with this.
I want the top four teams right now. What are they?
Let them have it.
Well, and I'm trying to explain it. Let's start with the boys. It is so wide open. I don't think, and you could turn your earphones off.
It's so wide open. What do you mean it's so wide open?
Clovis East is not the clear cut to win at all. They will be in the open. Clovis North should be there. Clovis East, I think, has a shot to get there. Memorial has a shot. And then you got St. Joseph or Rio Grande. Those are my top six that are narrowed down to four. But they're all
real
even.
So once again, repeat, Clovis West.
Clovis North.
North.
Clovis East.
Clovis East.
Memorial.
Memorial.
St. Joseph.
St. Joe's.
Arroyo Grande right now.
And Arroyo Grande.
What do you think about Bakersfield Christian?
Now they're in Division III. Could they come in? Can they beat? They could beat anybody in those six teams.
Top four teams.
Heck yeah. Right now I have them ranked fourth in my rankings.
Well,
top 25.
Based on what? Who have they beat or not beat and played close to that gives you that
they
rank?
They went overtime against Clovis West.
Yep.
They lost by one.
Yep.
And if Big Ben...
Ben Jaroszek, the big tight end. What a stud he is.
If he doesn't get in foul, he had three fouls in the first half, had to sit out all the third quarter.
All right.
They win. They're a better team than Clovis West.
Never mind.
Throw it out there. And Clovis East, don't crash the bus. What I'm saying is they have a big guy in the middle. Clovis West has nothing in the paint. This guy had 25 rebounds, 20 points, physical.
He's legit.
Old school. He could post up, man.
I agree.
When's the last time we saw a post-up player?
Yeah, it's been a while.
74?
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed. I haven't told you. I was at that game, of course, and you were there as well.
Then throw them in. And Nick said it. Why not have them in there?
Well, the problem is that, you know, you get into this groove up here, and you get the same teams that are kind of jockeying around, where a team like that that really hasn't been around, I don't think they've played, and Pags, correct me if I'm wrong if you know this, but I mean, I haven't seen them anywhere in terms of tournaments, local. Maybe because Clovis West doesn't play in those tournaments, and I don't hear about them as much down there from being down in the South Valley. And I do know that we're not getting the same. You know, Trevor Horn used to be down there, right, Nick? And he used to report a lot of those games in terms of what was going on. That's kind of stopped, right? I don't think we're getting that same feel. So I think that's a disadvantage for a team like that, South Valley, Matt.
It is. We obviously, it's just nature of the beast. We pride ourselves. I tag along with the Pag meter. That's his job, really.
Pags.
He knows about them. I don't really spend a lot of time, in all honesty, spending the time I do in the local area where I live seeing games. I don't get down there to tune into Bakersfield Christian. But clearly, Bakersfield Christian, San Joaquin Memorial, Garces, they've made it very clear. And who else? Who am I missing?
You can't leave out Bakersfield, St.
Joseph. I'm not going there. I'm going in a private school.
No, we're just talking purely about how impressive Bakersfield Christian is, and people, and you don't hear anybody talking about that.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's clear that those schools I just mentioned, Pag Meters, private professionals, they're not sitting idly by. They're catching on what else is going on in America. I've been all about the last probably month about, can we designate now and stop calling those schools high schools? Because they're not high schools. They're in a different category. They're a step just below being in college. They are college preparatory classes. They don't understand the same constraints that the normal high school public school has. They go out, and when I have to turn on the tube during the MLK holiday and check out all the great ESPN high school games, the best teams in America, and the talk openly, honestly, out there, it's official. The genie's out of the bottle. Well, you know, when I'm now talking as a coach from one of these private schools. Well, when we go out actively on the recruiting trail, the kind of recruit that we're looking for is a young man who understands the value of academics, high character. And it sounds like I'm listening for a promotional speech from Nick Saban about why would you play football at Alabama. They are recruiting. It's official. They don't even hide it. The team that we assembled, listen to that term, we assembled, meaning what? The team that I assemble in football at a public school is the team that handed to me by the junior high that's in my neighborhood that comes to my school.
Not anymore.
These teams are assembled. Montverde Academy, number one team in America right now. Big headline in SB Sports. I read it this morning. This might be, or is it, the greatest high school basketball team ever. Right away, I'm infuriated because they're not a high school team. Their roster, the top eight, all D1. I'm talking Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, Arizona. These kids are going there. Their roster is, and they're in Florida. Let's get this straight. Player A, top player out of the state of Arkansas. Player B, top player out of the state of Texas. Player C, from New York. Best player in Florida.
So next, who are they playing, Matt?
They're playing IMG Academy. They're playing
that's not high school,
Sierra Canyon, if they can get that game. How in the world are we even talking about high school and putting them in this reverence of they're the best high school team ever assembled?
And blame ESPN.
I am tired. I love what they do, and I want this to continue. That's part of it. Why are we putting them in the same lane as Tehachapi or Menachie High? Why are we even talking about this?
It's like when ESPN had Mr. Universe and they had all those steroid guys on there. Go, oh, look at him. He goes from Elkhorn, Kansas. Look at this big guy, 228 pounds. He's so on steroids. Remember they used to do that? That's not a real human. So it's the same thing with the ESPN.
So when you throw out certain deals, now I must give our central section, coaches, administrators, and, of course, the commissioner of our section, Jim Critz, I give him credit because we've been able, for the most part, to stave off this idea that certain high schools have to have 16 Division I players or whatever. But it's happening now. It seems to me like every time in this valley that I've been living here for over 20-plus years, that we're always about 10 years behind the curve of the big metropolitan area of Southern California. And that trend hits early. Next thing you know, Nick's still wearing his Cavaricci Pag Meter jeans, and the guy down there went straight Levi's. And then Nick finds out 10 years later that his style's out of date, and he catches up with what's happening in SoCal. Right now, our community is starting to catch up with SoCal. when the quarterback comes in for 1 year to Memorial, Finn Collins loses his two D1 receivers, and now we just heard that he's left to go to Calabasas.
It's a professional student.
We're there now. Yeah.
Well, how do you do that, though? I mean, But how do you? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How do you pick your family up and move?
Because I'm sure his dad will say, "Hey, I had to get a new job. I had to leave the area."
And that's like uprooting, because sometimes you have other kids involved. I mean, I've had people talk to me about moving kids around, and you think about it, right? It's kind of once you get in that position, but you're like, what am I doing? And sometimes my wife is smarter than I – well, not sometimes. All the time she's smarter than I am. She kind of brings you back down. I mean, why would you pick up your entire family and move into something like that? It'd have to be – to me, Matt, if you're going to do that, you're an NBA guy, or you might as well go play in the NBA.
Well, that's the plan, I'm sure. That's the idea of thinking is that this is what they do in college and pros. It usually fails.
Yes.
What, and everyone's probably, whether you like Pagmeter, you like Nick Anderson, or you like me, it doesn't really matter in the big picture, because you're going to like us or not. You're going to have your opinion on, like I'm having my opinion. I think it's high time now, and I see it happening. You guys talked about it. That was your question. I'm getting back to what we were talking about, or at least what the person that texted in and wanted to get the answer to on an email. Top four teams. We need to start talking about, let's go the top four. Top four, you guys nailed it, in the open. The open should now be relegated to the private professionals. And if you're a public juggernaut, like a Clovis West team, girls team, that was a national public school, but national champion.
Are you talking about the state now?
When you're talking open division.
In state, not the section.
I'm talking our section now is going open. Why are we going open?
No,
they're catching up to what the rest of the state is doing. Stop it.
Okay,
the rest of the state has always had an open. Where I grew up, we weren't even thinking about the private school modern day where I played ball. They're in a different category. We will never see them in a tournament. Stop complaining. We'll never see them. That's what I'm saying is happening here. Put the private professional and the elite public school that wants to be in that. They're allowed to say, well, we want to be in that open too. Now let's talk about, after you scrape away that group you're talking about, who's the best of the rest is what I'm always in tune in, because that's who I coach. Who's the best of the rest in the real world of high school athletics? The people that live in a neighborhood, they go to the school that they grew up in, there's a sense of family, they stick around. I'm not talking about the kid that grew up in my town of Madera that got something up as you know what, and his parents believed that he'd have a better opportunity in life if he left our great school district, a complete fallacy, by the way, and they continually do it. I am tired of uplifting and talking about that group as much as I should be talking about how we doing down there at Selma. How is our friends in Fowler doing right now? They're doing it not just the right way. They're doing it the way that America was built. Not this let's jump ship and let's go join forces with my buddy I played AAU ball with and let's go have 17 different D1 guys on
but
our roster and then go beat up on some other guy who's trying to do it a different way.
But you've told me 11 times now. Oh, well, Pagmeter, if they want to go, give them right to go.
Just don't ever see me again. Don't ever play in my backyard
See.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I got a guy who coaches basketball in my town. I got a guy. He still got to go do battle against Memorial, who just had a kid from Edison transfer in. Great. I love Memorial. I really do. It's just, do we have enough horsepower in your elite group you're talking about? Can we form a new division? And not just a division, a new league. A new league where those schools that want to do that, do it. I'm all for it.
Well, for example, Bakersfield Christian is Division III. You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, it's Roundtable Talk with the Nick and Matt Show here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone River, River Park, across from River Park.
River Ditchy?
Now, I'm eating all this to Chico's. I can't help it. But
yeah, it's amazing.
It's the January clearance sale, guys, and they have it all going on, Matty J., the Big Cat, what are you thinking?
Well, I mentioned my thoughts, Matt, and I think it kind of goes along with what I know about you, is I'm all into that chair over there with that massaging mechanism.
You nailed it. Yeah, you did. You found the cozier department. I'm upset right now, but I'm happy for you. I thought that was my exclusive territory. That's the greatest chair, quality built. And you talked about the back. I'm talking about my hamstrings. Yeah. It goes all the way to massages my calves, my ankles.
And everything else.
Yeah, it'll massage Pagmeter's cankles. He's got the cankle thing going with those giant calves and
it's amazing
ankles.
He could throw the ball as far
yeah,
as he
it really
can.
Is.
Yeah, it really is.
And I'd like to point this out, too. DeChicos.
Oh, giddy up.
One word.
Is that two words?
Damn good.
Is that two words, Matt?
Two words.
Yeah, I thought so.
Good.
Depends on how you spell
and
it.
And what form of Wolverine or varmint got into the chicken over there? Because I was just, hopefully, I got a little piece left.
Pags ate it all.
Pags, it's
and
Scarface.
Pags is right. In today's world, he's correct. Actually, I'm sorry, Pags. Hashtag giddy up would be all one word because that's how people do things today.
Well, if you it say it fast.
Say it fast. One it's one
giddy
word.
Up. Giddy up. It's two words, but giddy up.
Okay. I don't know about that. Anyway,
doesn't really matter. You're going to the break. Your question.
Well, before
in regards
we go,
to
we forgot the girls' side on the open.
And I want
Clovis
to thank
West.
Helena.
Yeah, of course. The girls' open division brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises. If you need it, if you're a farmer out there, Matt, and if you're listening, you're a farmer. And
I am a farmer. I don't know what we want. Why would you not say that?
Well, the east side of your orchard
are
just not
crops
producing
in my backyard.
Like the west side, and you're like, what's going on? Call the professionals. They'll figure it out. They'll come out there and do a study on you. 559 Let people know we're Tiffany.
261-9030 Ask for Tiffany. She'll be answering that phone. Tell her where you farm. And she'll find a hell of a location that best fits your geography.
Maybe we have Tiffany call in sometime. We don't talk.
Hey, the origin of the word Helena, the company, was that from Helena, Montana?
No, everybody thinks that.
Yeah,
West Helena, Arkansas.
West Helena, Arkansas
was the original Helena facility.
And I was there. I looked at it.
You saw it.
You guys are legends in Arkansas, by the
Southern,
way.
Southern. That's where Southern Company, based out of Memphis, Tennessee.
Our Langston Company does trillions of bags for them.
Well,
in the
Midwest. The Memphis connection.
Yeah,
that's
no doubt. They're everywhere.
You're the bag meter and the pag meter.
Yeah. Can we take that off your message? Anybody has his phone number, please?
The open division.
Okay,
so Matt,
go ahead.
See how
open.
He draws me
no,
off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Clovis West, Clovis North, Buchanan, and Clovis. Those are the four right now. Looking at the opening, boy, Clovis tonight against Clovis West could be a good one. It's teeing off in about 25 minutes. So it'd be
who's
a good
the best
one.
Girls basketball team in the South Valley?
Bakersfield.
Bakersfield's
loaded right now. They're right.
Where do you
there.
Put them in? That they're not in the four you mentioned.
Porterville's right there.
They're outside the your group of the Final Four.
Carruthers is a good basketball team.
They're young. Next year. Forget it.
But I'll tell you, that program, if you want to talk about, Matt, you talk about these smaller programs and building from within. If you look at Carruthers and what they have done, I mean, they're a state champion. I mean, I don't care about divisions or what you're talking about, but you're talking about a school like Carruthers that's done a wonderful job.
Well, let me ask you guys, building that's a question. So we said it before the break. If I'm a little guy, let's say I'm going to Parlier. And I'm a point guard, but I don't play summer ball because I'm working. I got a job over at Frankie's Deli, and I don't get time. I don't play summer, but I'm pretty good. And I'm averaging 33 points a game. I play football. I'm also throwing 91 in baseball. Can I get a scholarship?
Who is this guy?
I mean, right.
I'm gonna find him.
Can I get a scholarship, or do I have to go play at the big boys and play summer ball, or how does it work for the little guys out there? Will they find you if you're that good?
We talked a little bit about this at break, Matt, and, you know, I mentioned that, you know, Matt is a coach. Matt played at a high level himself. He's been through the recruiting process himself personally, and that he's also coached at a high level in high school. So I think Matt would agree, but I'll tell you this from my standpoint. I think that can happen, but a lot of the pieces are going to have to come together. It's going to have to be almost a perfect storm. You're going to have a coach that is connected in some way, knows some people, and it might just be one school. It might be one school someplace that, hey, my buddy John, you know, I played with him. You know, a lot of these coaches played in college. A lot of them did, or they have some kind of connections. They make a phone call for you. Well, that's one call. But these coaches need to, if they really want to get this kid into a program, whether it be the football or baseball, this guy sounds like he's a triple – you know, all,
right. Definitely.
All Hall of Famer already. But there's going to have to be some phone calls that are made and getting these coaches to understand. In today's world, it's much easier to get film on these kids. So I'd say in today versus maybe 15 years ago, Matt, where you didn't have access to, you know, people would put together films, but it would take them all season to put it together. Now they've got film the next morning. A lot of coaches don't care about film as much. They want to see that kid personally and watch him play. If they can't watch him during the summer, they're going to come and try to watch them in practice or watch a game. But before that, they're going to have to understand, hey, I got a realistic coach here that knows the game pretty well. When this guy calls me, I know when he calls me, there's he's got something I need to see. But if the coach doesn't have any respect, respect out there or connections in a sense, I'm not sure you're going to get a lot of people coming into some of these smaller towns, regardless of how good that kid is.
Exactly. The thing that this is a very, very lot of moving parts to the whole world of recruiting. Now let's talk about the sports that have budgets to really go out and recruit. The sport of football, sport of basketball, even in the world of baseball. And that goes for softball probably and women's basketball for Fresno. They've got a budget to go recruit. Number one, you clearly have, if you're good, if you're this young man from Parlier that throws at 91 and he power cleaned 692 and he runs a 40 and he's a quarterback / DB, all that good stuff. If he transfers and goes to a school that has four or five other outstanding D1 caliber prospects, I will use a school that a lot of people have been talking about lately, Central. If I'm playing for Central and I am that guy from Parlier, I will clearly have a better opportunity to get the meaningful eyeballs on me because Herm Edwards from Arizona State is going to be spending time checking out Jeremiah Hunter. Yeah. Or Trent Edwards, you know, whoever, Trent Edwards, I always call him that,
Tompkins,
or whoever that guy might be. If you've got two or three, more colleges are coming from all different levels to see. And on the way that all they're doing, that's how I got recruited, by the way. They're coming to see my 6'5", 240-pound tight end during basketball practice, and all braggadocious aside, but I'm working them over on the basketball court, and they had to think, who's that guy? Well, he plays football. What? That's how I got it. But how'd they come out and see me from Oklahoma, Nebraska, Notre Dame, USC's of the world? They were coming to see my five-star guy. On the way to looking at him, they noticed me. So, yes, if you're in a high-profile, big-time athletic program that has a lot of marquee names like a Memorial, you're going to get more eyeballs because they only have a budget that can go so far.
So what would you tell the parents out there?
But, no, my point is this. But this idea that if you don't do this, my kid's not going to get recruited – well, guess what? Your kid's not good enough. How about that idea? Your kid's not good enough to be recruited. The good ones will be found. The mediocre ones might not get the same opportunity as the mediocre guy at a Central because there's a lot more coaches coming to visit that campus
on
recruiting time.
So the man beast 2 years ago, Trey Walker, who was at Dos Palos.
Yes.
They decided, we got to get to Central.
Has nothing to do with Trey Walker.
He would have still got a
scholarship. Heck yeah. If anybody's telling you that, they're lying. Dos Palos is on the map of every college. You're talking football now, and every college out there. And I know the coach at Dos Palos, and he's on the phone talking to the coaches. Yeah, I got a guy for you.
You're talking football, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, Matt's, you know, I'm going to tell you that it's different on the basketball side.
Well, basketball, by the way, basketball, and you jump in at any time, much more limited.
That's what I mean.
It's so limited. What are you guys giving up? We're looking for three guys. What? Football's looking for 25 every year in Division I, 18 in the FCS level. It's a bigger net they're throwing into the water. So you've got to be special. Now, you could go play at junior college. You can go get a scholarship to a Division III in basketball, and you're pretty good. There ain't but about two, maybe three if you're lucky, D1 boys out there right now. There's not a lot.
How many do we have here, Nick, this year besides Cole?
Man, I mean, it's hard to say. Actually, it's not. Memorial,
none, huh?
Memorial,
maybe two?
Memorial's got a couple.
Hunter's a sophomore, junior.
Yeah, he's a good athlete, and he'll continue to get. He's a sophomore. He'll get, and they got some other kids on there that are gonna.
Let's use Mr. Hunter for an example.
Mr. Garone over there is on fire right now.
Let's use the Hunter. At Memorial, is from Madera. Let's say Mr. Hunter decides to stay and matriculate where he's going to go to school and go to Madera South.
Now, he's the big fish in the water.
Big fish in the water, but I'm going to go to our high school basketball expert, Nick Anderson. If summer comes, he still joins a club team. He's still seen by every college in America. Mm-hmm. The fact that he plays for a high school team that maybe might not be so good, although with him they might be a lot better, but he's coming from a little town, and so, relatively speaking, but he's playing for a smaller school. He's now at Memorial. He would have got recruited is just as much or more than he's getting recruited right now. It all comes down with guys like that to can they deliver the goods in the summer programs, in the trips they go with Nick Cole Anderson off to Vegas, and someone, geez, that kid can shoot. He's not getting recruited because he plays for Clovis West. Cole's getting recruited, or Hunter over at first name, geez, help
Joseph
me out.
Joseph Hunter.
Joseph, yeah. Joseph Hunter's getting recruited at Memorial because he can play basketball. It doesn't matter if he's playing for Parlier or if he's playing for Memorial. Now, he wants to play at Memorial. Bigger games, better trips. We had that one group that came in here. Wow, you went to San Diego. That was Clovis basketball. You went to San Diego. Then you went to – on the way, you stopped off in Hawaii for a tournament. That's what the kids want. They want to be a part of that. Come on.
And the swag.
Let's talk about the guys that didn't make – I don't know if this is good or not, but let's talk about a guy. I don't know. He's doing pretty good. He's from a small town. Allen for the Buffalo Bills. How did Josh Allen get recruited? He had skill. He paid his price. We argue,
he was a late bloomer.
We argue that he was a late bloomer, should have gone to Fresno State. He didn't. He goes to Wyoming.
But he didn't get recruited.
Yeah, no. That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I know a guy who did get recruited. Start with him. There's a kid out at Kerman who's the starting quarterback, was until he got injured, from Sean Chambers from Kerman. Small town. He didn't play for Central or Edison or anything. He played at Kerman. If
boy,
you've
did
got
he get
talent.
Did he get recruited or what? All these high school teams. Come on, you got
to
come on over.
You have to have a high school coach or coaches that have no problem getting on the phone and selling their commodity to colleges, number one. But before they pick up the phone and dial off the number I dialed off to talk to somebody at San Diego State today, great staff, by the way. Any staff, by the way, that accepts phone calls without having to go, hey, how you doing, Mike? Coach answers the phone right there. What's going on, Coach Johnson? If you know your marketplace, you're going to answer your phone. That's your job. I was selling some other kid. If there's coaches out there that aren't doing that, shame on them. I don't know of any of my crew that don't do that, but if you've got the talent, and by the way, before you make that call to someone like down at Fresno or San Diego State, be very clear that you actually know the guy's got talent. Some of these coaches call. They tell me all the time, these college coaches, Coach, you're not going to believe this guy called. Give me your opinion. What do you think of this kid? You mean the guy that got honorable mention in his league? He's calling for what? Well, you know, I'm trying to run a program at Notre Dame. He says he could play for Notre Dame. Come on, man. Get real with the talent level you're selling.
That's a great question for both of you. So let's say I am a coach, but Matt, for example, you would never do that. Matt is awesome. He'll tell it like it is about a kid. There's a lot of coaches who might say fib around it. Oh, this kid's really good. I want to get him to Oregon. He could start. But deep inside, he knows he's not that good. And then the coach is going to, the college coach will come back and say, never trust that high school again. He just served me wrong. How does that work? Isn't that a two-way street?
That's why a lot of coaches won't do that. They won't. I mean, if they
high
have
school
a good,
coaches?
Yeah, if they have a good enough reputation. And
they're not going to ruin the reputation.
Yeah,
that's going to be a one-time deal. Then you'll never have a chance to get on the phone, and that guy from San Diego State won't answer the phone. Yeah. From me anymore.
They're not going to get – you're going to burn somebody at that level, and they actually say, okay, I'll take you. Maybe they're looking for one more guy, and they're just calling them on the right day. Okay, great. We'll take your word on it. And you take your word, and this guy shows up, and he's out of shape, doesn't work hard. He's a problem off the field. He's got some other issues going on. Mm-hmm. They're going to call the guy and say, hey, man, did you tell us about this, and that? You didn't mention this. Did you know this? And then once you do that, you're putting into a whole different field by yourself out there, and your connection is just going to – your bridges are starting to collapse.
Thank you.
What I have a problem with in the business of teaching and coaching these young men and women is that once you get the negative, like, no – I had to discover it when I was coaching football at Edison. Wait a minute. I didn't realize there's division, an NAIA, and there's a school up in small parts of Portland, Oregon that plays football. Keep going. And then you have our good friends. The best avenue at times. Junior college. We're in California. We're blessed with some of the greatest junior college, if not the greatest, JC programs in all of America. They're right here in our state. You've got to convince the kids that 1 year there, 2 years there, you get your man muscles going, you're ready to roll, now you go off to the four-year. I made an option on somebody once, and I said, okay, I can get you or help you. I'll help you. I'm not getting you anything. You still have to have the ability and do it in the classroom. But I'm going to help you get a – you want to go? I'll send you. Minot State to North Dakota. I think the Air Force used that as a testing ground, whether you can live or die in freezing temperatures. It is not pretty. I'm not going to kid you.
Underground.
We've sent a lot. Every time I pick up the paper and I see, hey, Bobby and this guy's going off to Minot State, they'll accept anyone. And it's still, they're going to play something. They're going to play sports up there. And I've done it a couple times. Now, of course, Coach, I'm coming home. This is horrible. You wanted to tell everybody you got a scholarship.
Right. Sign here.
You wanted to be a part of that signing day nonsense, and we send them off to those parts unknown, and they come back. There is a fit, a home for just about anybody that can adequately shoot jump shots or score touchdowns or tackle people. You just have to be willing to realize what level am I playing at.
How about this other question I get all the time?
Wow.
It's a neighborhood watch meeting. You got the families over there. You're all talking. And, hey, bro, your kid is so good. He's gonna be. Was he going to be playing college? I don't know. He's not really playing a lot at the local high school. Oh, you better go talk to the coach because he needs to be playing at UCLA. So you go talk to the coach. He's honest with him. He's a good high school football player. But he probably won't play at the next level. But mom and dad think, we're not paying for college. Nick Anderson has this one beat. Three kids will have full ride scholarships, but I want that too. Kid, college is, the high school coach is very clear. I don't know if he's going to be that good at the next level, but you're a really good high school player. He's going to get shopped down the road. He leaves. That's just what happens anymore. So do you have to fib the parents to keep him here to get on your program, or is he going to go down the road and get super fibbed?
It all depends on the level of the player you're talking about for your high school
team. He's a good high school kid.
He's a good high school kid.
Yeah.
I turn it over to Guy, I goes, because he's the brutally honest guy. I try to do the best I can to make sure I talk honestly, but also keep the dream alive. You never want to trample on a young kid's life. And I was only kidding about Coach Guy. He goes, he's the same way. You never want to totally trample on his dreams, but you do want to implement a little certain bit of honesty in there to say, look.
But isn't it the parents, though?
Well, the parents are parents. They're delusional. Delusional parenting is out there big time. But if it's that extreme in the parent, they do leave. They can go, fine. You gave your best chance. But I've never, maybe once in my entire career, and I've been doing this for 30 years, have I ever run across anybody that really didn't take my word and say, you're right, Coach. I'm sorry. What do you think is possible for him? And then you open up that communication.
Fresno Ag Hardware for him.
No, we don't go there.
Everything's earlier, though. You would agree that.
Although that's not a bad job.
No job's a bad job, Matt.
That's right.
As long as you're working and you're in your lane. My question to you is the recruiting much sooner now than it was.
Oh, boy.
I mean, so you start getting contact with these kids, and that's what's kind of riling up these parents and freaking out a little bit at an earlier age. You got eighth grade films out there and everybody's sending stuff out, and you know, I got an offer in eighth grade and I got an offer here, and how many of them are real and how many of them are fake, and all this kind of stuff that goes on out there. That's a stressful environment. I just listen to you talk, which is I'm enjoying this deal, because it's, you've been through this and your experience is worth more than half the stuff we hear from people that really have never lived it. You know how I feel about people that have actually lived something rather than just being on the outside talking about some small town somewhere but never really done anything themselves. This recruiting and college sports, Division I level, you go, once you leave this town and you pack your bags and you end up there, Minot or whatever you end up, I'm not sure what division they are, you got a full-time job on your hands, man.
Yeah,
and it's a whole nother level, and that's another piece that you're recruiting. You're talking about the athleticism of some of these kids. Can they shoot the ball? Yeah, you shoot the ball. Can they throw the ball down the field? 91-mile-an-hour fastball. It's all fun and games. Matt talks about the signing. Oh, hey, all my girlfriends out there, check, look at me, my pictures in the news, all this. All of a sudden, you pack your bags, get on that plane or get in your parents' car, and you're sitting there, and you're traveling through the San Joaquin Valley headed to Minot, North Dakota. And all of a sudden, the crowd's not screaming anymore. There's two people in the stands. You're getting up every day at 6 a.m., and you're trying to figure out, what am I doing here? And that's when that whole piece about the recruiting, the early recruiting, or if you're just not quite that player, but somebody gave you that scholarship, would you rather be on that team in Minot, North Dakota, or would you just rather go to school somewhere and enjoy the college?
Yep. The great – well said, Nick. Well said. The great – iconic sports figure of this generation around this valley. I happen to know the guy, but he and I played college football together, and that's where I met him. Tim McDonald, Edison High School. Whether you have fond memories or you have a bad whatever it might be, Tim McDonald always told me something that lived and sticks with me for every step that I travel on in this world of high school athletics, trying to help, not only help with what Nick Anderson, the company you're with, Helena, what they do for local here at Fashion Furniture, what the PAG meter does of getting word out. He gave me some words, and it's simple. Why are you back at Edison? You've traveled. You've won Super Bowls. You've done everything. Went to USC. You could have gone to Stanford. B'nai B'rith Award winner. Tim McDonald, to me, embodies one of the great, well-rounded student-athletes of this community that's ever come out. He always believed in college. I never knew this, as his teammate, spent lots of time with him in the secondary together in college. He'd always tell me, Matty J, I'm doing this because when I left Edison with a 4.0 perfect GPA, offers from every college in America, All-American, everything, I was scared daily because every day I was thinking about how ill-prepared I am for this college experience. Exactly what you're talking about. How a guy who's the biggest five-star blue chipper you could ever imagine went to college, in L.A., by the way. It wasn't like he's stuck in Minot, North Dakota. He's in L.A.
Big picture.
And when I'd have talks with him late night, it was like, man, I don't know about this place.
And there was no FaceTiming back then.
He absolutely shocked at what you just said, Nick Anderson. The professional job aspect of why you're here. You've got classes, and then they're going to take you on the practice field in the meeting rooms and beat the tar out of you. And you got to get up the next morning, and you have to do it all over again.
And
he was not equipped to handle that workload. He got through it. But when he came back home after his playing career was done with the San Francisco 49ers, he felt like, I need to go back to my alma mater, Edison High School, and at least in part, how difficult it really is when you leave high school. And if you have aspirations to go play this game at a college, what you're in for. And that's all that's what you do with your son or daughters. That's what Nick does with these kids he talks to and goes to these games to promote them. And in my life as a coach, that's what I do. Try to give them tools for when it gets ugly, which it inevitably does, and get yourself becoming a man or a woman of how you're going to handle what it's going to be aggravation. I'm sure your daughter calls home from San Jose State all the time. Like, oh, this, because we, and by the way, how do we fix that? In education, in my opinion, we started it, Nick, not we, but this idea of career technical education, CTE, through our good friends downtown here in Fresno, and this idea that somehow education took away some of the building blocks of young men and women. I had home economics. I didn't know how to cook, how to iron clothes, but they taught me in high school. They taught me in junior high. I didn't know how to fire up my arc welder and do a repair job, but they taught me in high school. I didn't know how to put a nail into a wall and actually hit it with a hammer until I had wood shop in high school. Plumbing, how to build a frame. That, to me, whether you're an athlete or not, you need those building blocks, because when you're in college, you're doing your own laundry. When you're in college, you got to wake up and go to that one deal to meet somebody, and you got to iron your shirt, tie a tie. We're so wrapped up in reading, writing, arithmetic, I don't think they're getting that education, by the way. So what we do, you as a parent and a guy that a lot of people have been critical of, but you know what? As a coach, I always prefer a parent who's involved over a parent I never see. I don't give a two rats if the next game you're out there doing the two-step in the middle of the court, as long as you don't harm anyone or yourself. That's lovely. Because as a coach, that dad cares. And if that dad cares, my job's a lot easier. Period. It's the parent who does not get actively involved, except when they want to yell at you because you didn't throw to the right play or you think your coaching stinks. Parents need to be involved.
Well, that's probably why we have so many coaching changes in high school. 48 the last 2 years. We already have 10 this year.
I saw your list football. The other day that you tweeted out. That's amazing.
It just gets every week, right? It just keeps.
If you'll notice that list, there's two types of coaches, in my opinion. Actually, there's three, because Tim McDonald nearly never had a job. He just worked his private life, had lots of money. He's created a business, and then he coached as his thing to give back. Late in the game, Edison is trying to work a way to get him on campus. He takes the Fresno State job. Next thing you know, he's coaching with the New York Jets.
Thanks to you and I, by the way.
Okay.
Well, of course, part of you. I mean, yeah.
So then you have the coach, the traditional base coach. You love these guys and ladies. They go to college. They get a degree, and then they go on for their teaching credential. Then they go on to their credential. Then they go an intern, and now they're working in a classroom. And then on the side, someone comes to them and says, you know, I like this teacher, Nick Anderson. Heard you got a little background in basketball. Would you be interested in coaching our freshman JV or varsity? Sure. So you get your stipend, a little bit of money on the side to do that. But your job as a teacher, that's what pays your bills. You're an educator. Then there's the third guy, the guy that comes and wants to work and help kids, but the district can't get you to be in the credential thing. You're a classified employee. You've got to work in a different department.
What are you working?
Cultural
security guy.
School services, security, maintenance, you name it. There's a whole litany of things that go on in a high school
student
business.
Student sector observer.
Thank you. And so that's your job, and you mentor young lives, and you try to do the best to help transform lives. You go out and you help the at-risk kids all you can, and on the side, you're helping the kids on your program, basketball, baseball, football, whatever it might be. So the coaches, my point is this. You got the schematics of how it works. These coaches that always come up on the list, if you'd really check, those are teachers. They're getting paid regardless. They get a few thousand bucks here or there to coach their sport. Is that worth the aggravation maybe they're going through? So they look at it and they say, well, I'm tenured forever. I'm going to retire in 18 years with a pension plan that's as good as any state's ever offered. And one day they want to retire. They don't need the aggravation to get that extra $2,500 a year. So they leave. That's the fact. We never talk about this, but why not? I'm getting up in age. Why not? Tell it like it is. That's why, by the way, any school that only hires as their coaches, the people in charge of their kids in sports, teachers, I think, are not doing it right. You got to have a healthy blend of how it's going to work. Because if you pigeonhole that it's only going to be a teacher, are you always going to get the best coach? A lot of times you do. But sometimes you close the door on somebody that might be very good for the kid's growth and development as a human being as they leave the school.
I think balance.
So these coaches, I guarantee, check into it, Nick. You do the research. Those 48 names, guaranteed they're all going back to their social studies, to their chemistry lab, to their math class. They're all going back. You want to see some coaches for longevity? Maybe they're the coach who does the equipment. Madera South, we've got a great one, equipment manager. He's also coaches wrestling, and helps with the girls. He's not going anywhere. He's got a job to do, but he also coaches.
Wants to be involved.
He wants to be involved. Now, having said that, like I said, you can get it as Tim Simons. It comes in all different ways. So, but these names primarily, as you always say, all these parents are on these coaches. It's crazy. It's a hard job to do. It is a hard job, but a lot of these names that leave, well, it's not like they're leaving their profession. Their profession is still there. They're teachers. They just don't have the time or energy or certain items to that where they can continue.
Some let go.
Yeah. That's it.
And some districts, you know, they just going to get a guy across town is not good enough. They need to go to Louisiana, Tennessee to pick up their new coach.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Well, they got websites for that now. When jobs open, it goes out, and you're sitting there in Swickley, Pennsylvania, and you pick up the wire that, honey, you want to go to California? There's an opportunity. Yeah.
Recruiting is all – it's just across – it's like anything. Recruiting in our profession, we'd send out belong to a website, and you get resumes from all over the place.
But back to the original deal, hogwash pag meter. If you are good, you're going to be found.
So, in other words, the moral of the story is have fun in high school.
Sure. Yeah.
Nick? Is that true?
I think it's easy to say that. I don't necessarily agree with that. That's my thought. I think maybe a different sport, maybe, but I speak solely from basketball. I'm going to concentrate on that because even though I have a past in football, it was much different at the level I was at, and my experience with basketball is recent.
Yeah.
So I lived it. So I'll talk purely on that because I feel like I'm educated on that side of it more so than others. You have to work, man. You don't think that Cole is this – he's this kid playing in Clovis West, and, yeah, he plays on a travel team. You've got to work, and I'm going to tell you, I work –
at contacting people and going through other coaches, whether it be folks that know these coaches and trying to get them. And, oh, yeah, that guy didn't even know who he was. I mean, you don't know how many people that are in California, because California is such a large state, Matt, with so many wonderful athletes that –
Okay, now your son, Cole Anderson, is a part of one of the elite basketball programs. Happens to be a public school, but it's an elite program. They have little hoopsters. They grow up in it. They get after it like any private school would. They get after their program. He plays in the summer on a team, whether it's his own team or a club team, but he's playing a lot, and he's really, really good. That's what I'm talking about. You won. Clovis West isn't Monteverde Academy. If your kid's at Monteverde Academy, is he going to really get much more? You're still doing breaking your doors down to go find out what you can find.
So, in other words, what you're saying is
– it got to hurt Bryson Williams. He played at Roosevelt.
No, but if Cole went to Sanger – I'm not saying – but I'm put down a smaller school like Layton.
Say Carruthers.
Let's say you had grandparents living out in Layton, yeah, and he's going to go to Layton.
Yeah.
Would he still get the look, but even though he's playing in the summer?
I say yes. When I pick up the pace, let's just – it's all relative, okay? So Cole goes out tonight, and he throws up 24 points. He's playing at Layton, and he throws up 56. That made the news, folks. Who's this guy? They got a guy out in Layton. He can't be stopped.
Okay.
Everybody – welcome to the new age. There's technology now. I heard about a guy in Layton, California. He reminds everyone of Pistol Pete now. They'll come up with legendary stories. I would rather get it done at a – not docking your kids or anything, but I would rather get it done at a small school in the community that I grew up in and put myself on the map throwing up crazy numbers – against lesser talent.
Well, I know Pag
and be that big fish in that little pond. I would rather do that. Now, I'm not saying the other way's wrong, because
but I'm just saying Pagmeter being late in the next Friday night.
Oh, thank you. Talent is talent. Talent is talent. You still got to have a crazy lunatic father like Nick who's going to make the call to call the person to make sure. Did you realize that we were going to be in town? And while we're here, we'd like to stop over at your place too. Absolutely.
It's my next job. I'm training to become that guy.
Thank you.
I'm going to be the local recruiter.
Do you realize
you're a natural.
How rare this Mr. Helena guy is right here, Nick Anderson? He's going to have three kids, full-ride scholarships. That's unheard of.
Yeah, exactly. And quite frankly, knowing – what I personally have had to go through in a family, it's remarkable.
It really is.
It's remarkable. And it is definitely a pattern. God, genetics, however you want to call it, kids are talented.
Well, I'm just wondering.
But two, you have to have a fabric in your household, your family, to be able to go do it. And by the way, if you have that family, that talent sitting underneath your door, wouldn't you? I had it for one that was, I'm not going to let that just creep away. The Coach Weaver, track coach at Buchanan, he's looking at Coach, he's already had his workout. I mean, he hasn't had my workout yet. And I was probably wrong, a lot of that. But you want to give them everything you can, but you also want to be honest with yourself. I wasn't trying to grandiose and throw my kid out there and say he's going to be playing or running track for Carl Lewis out of Houston. Yeah, not that kind of time. He's not that guy. But I knew that this guy can go on and still compete, so I want to give him every opportunity to be the best he can be. He did it. Other families are doing it.
Why, Nick, didn't you have two more at least? Have five. Have a whole basketball team.
Yeah, why'd you ever get fixed? You should have just kept that going.
I'm still good.
Okay, good, because we can sell that.
I'll come out of retirement.
We can sell that.
That'd have been a record.
And make money on it.
Basketball team right there. It's co-ed, travel the world.
It must be the Bullard. The gene pool out of Bullard or something. You know, my wife being a Bullard Knight, maybe there's, you know, Pags being a Bullard Knight too. I mean, there you go.
I didn't want to say anything.
There was a reason why I was dating Cheryl Miller. I had dreams in college of what we were going to come up with here in hopefully in a sometime immediate future. Didn't ever materialize, but that was a combination of parenting, genetics in the pool, and the bingo. But you have to have parents that care. Do you know how many young kids and young ladies never get that kind of support at home? Right? That's the thing I'm talking about. As much as I would like to say, Nick, you're my friend, at times, please, you're over the top with that. But is it really, as a parent, who would sit on the sidelines after football practice for medicine and go travel to Buchanan and stay in the stands and shout instructions to my son while he's running with his other coaches. I was that guy too. So you have to. That's why, by the way, you probably haven't ever been kicked out of the district. Don't come to any games, because it's working. If your kid was a, dad, please,
oh, Nick's out.
You're out.
Nick's in Layton.
Right. I don't need me anymore.
Hey, Nick, so let me ask you, Emily.
It's in the pudding. It's right there.
How much did Emily help Megan and then Nick on the whole process of college?
I mean, if you listen to Cole and you know, Megan will probably say the same thing, but I heard Cole say this the other day. You know, he grew up, you know, he's a small kid. You know, Emily's, what, 6-7 years older than him or whatever it is? Longer, older than that. I'm lost. I don't want to – hopefully Jill's not listening to me because she'll probably throw a dart at me later. But older. So he got to spend so much time in gyms and watching. And his comment is, there's no way I could have two sisters that are playing like that and me being – I got to be better. So it motivated him. And,
no,
and,
I'm just
and
talking about the college world, like these coaches recruiting. She went through. Oh, she was the test dummy. That's what I'm saying. Was she the test dummy of this, how to handle
it?
Yeah,
but see, that wasn't as aggressive. I remember her walking downstairs, and it was like I wasn't involved with that as much. It seems like his phone rings all the time.
Yeah.
His texting goes off all the time. I don't even know. He's quit telling me about who's contacting him because he doesn't want to talk about it. And that's the distraction piece that you also got to throw out there is, you know, this is basketball season. This is high school basketball season. These kids want to win a section championship. They want to win. But at the same time, you're trying to deal with all this recruiting because they can contact them directly.
At any moment.
Which is why a lot of these kids, what you're talking about, they tune it off early, and you say, well, you've committed early, you're only a junior.
That's it.
I don't want you calling me anymore. And the thing that kills me is they still do.
Oh, that's when they get serious.
You know, you go out on the you pull up the Twitter, and, oh, hey, let's use Cole as an example. Cole Anderson, he's going to San Jose State. And then the guy over at Nevada says, call him. Bull crap. He's not. They get in your way still, by the way. But a lot of kids want it to go bye-bye. I want it done. And that's the credit to the great sport that we call, which is high school athletics. There are kids, male and female, that all they really care about is the moment they're living right now. And they want to go to the section championship game, and anything that takes them off that path, they want to close it down. That's why I've got a coach friend calling me right now. He wants Cole to commit tomorrow night. I got an idea.
Has Stanford called yet?
Oh, they call. Yeah, they call.
All right, because he will be a Stanford.
They're still
Cardinal.
Watching him.
Mark
but
it
that's
down.
A big deal. Yeah. I mean, like Matt said earlier, you guys have got to understand. You got to watch. If you know what you're looking at, you got to watch. You got to see the physical part of the game, the size. There's a huge difference between, you know, one conference to another conference. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, you go to these AAU tournaments across the country, there's some guys out there you think might be 30. And maybe they are 30, but that's who's playing out there. And I just – the other thing I want to stress, because I know we've been on a tangent, but this is high school sports at its best with three of us and the experience that's you know, amongst this group. The area that I just seem that nobody talks about, you guys, is the academic side of it, man.
Good point.
I see so many kids that their parents – Matt, you mentioned – that, you know, your kid goes from one, and then I'm going to push him over to Buchanan. And I was one of those guys, too. Okay, we're going to go get a different workout in. We're going to do this, do that. That's fine. If you maintain and you have balance and you can handle that and you can go home, have a good meal, and then you can get your work done and you can maintain a decent enough, you don't have to be a 4.0, but you can be a decent grades. There's so many kids out there that do that, and their parents are pushing them all around town.
Yeah.
They're not pushing them towards the tutor. The tutor is a forgotten person somewhere, but they do offer tutors at most schools. Matter.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But when a kid's in high school and he's got a 1.8 GPA or a 2.0, you know what that means at the next level? And not everybody's going to the NBA, by the way. Not everybody's going to Europe to play.
But that means minus a point, right?
That's minus a point, yeah. Pags. Exactly right. Yeah.
So if you're a 2.0 in high school, you're going to be a 1.0 in college.
They told me that with Emily. And
unless you go to North Carolina or Kentucky, because it really isn't going to matter because you're going to be in a Mickey Mouse class.
One and done.
Where everybody one and done's and others, by the way.
Well,
Mickey
they quit,
Mouse.
They quit going. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back for our last segment, guys, and wrap this thing up. What do you think?
Take it.
You're listening live to On the Zone from Fashion Furniture, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local numero uno.
Show a picture of your dog. We put
You are in the zone here on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. It's Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson and Matty J here at the Great Fashion Furniture. Matt, the January clearance sale is going on, and this place is jamming right now.
It's always rocking here at Fashion Furniture.
Yeah, on a Friday afternoon. Hey, this weekend, come on down to Fashion Furniture. Take a look. Bring the family in. They got a little kid center right by us here in the fabulous 940 Studios. We pretty much hit a lot today. We got about 10 minutes left or so. Super Bowl, I threw it out at the beginning. It was another topic. Bill Cowers, Hall of Fame, but Tom Flores doesn't make it.
Doesn't make sense. I still haven't figured out. And it goes back to Drew Pearson versus Harold Carmichael, Drew Pearson versus Lynn Swann. Weren't they all one in the same era? And they all had leading. Pearson's numbers actually are better than both those guys. And, oh, by the way, I know because I loved him as a kid. I had a big poster in my room on this guy, Joe Namath. But number-wise, he's not even in the top 50 of quarterbacks.
But back in, I disagree, but back then it was a different world of quarterbacks. Now you almost have to double it. Because in another 10 to 20 years,
it'll
be 10,000 yards a year.
He still threw 248 interceptions in his career, more than his touchdowns. It's just no good for
me. You know, the reason why.
And that's what they're hanging on. Eli, who's 5 years from now, he'll be eligible. But right now, they've been talking a lot about his retirement. They're talking about, is he a Hall of Famer? Well, you know, in the regular season, he was only 294 and 289 or, you know, 500 football. Who cares?
If he was,
did he change the sport? He did.
He won two big games. I'm gonna flip the sides. He never won the big one until the two Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady.
Who did he beat?
Tom Brady.
Undefeated.
Now the question is, if his name was Eli Mendez, would we be talking about it, or is it because he's a Manning?
Not even close. Not even the same ballpark. The only reason I would say Mendez, you're probably correct, is that what's holding back Tom Flores? Is it the Hispanic cultural heritage?
Or Al Davis?
Who's blacklisting Tom Flores?
Or
the Raiders in general?
I think it's Al Davis.
Tom Flores is clearly time for Hall of Fame.
And who's voting on these guys? Some young skippy
guys?
The guys
you talk about that are in their basement with eating Cheetos in their underwear. You know the people we're talking about. They never played a game in their life. Why don't we turn it over to true Hall of Fame voters and let the people that run the game of football, the players, decide?
If I'm going to have a house party, do you think I want some little kids down the street to decide who's going to come into my house? No. I want my family to say, yeah, we want you in. No, no. Yeah, no. Have the Hall of Fame committee. Pick five of each decade. I don't care how they do it.
Well, the sad thing is, at the beginning when I was young, I used to think, is it because, well, it is only a room, and how many trophies and busts of people can you have? But, you know, they have lots of real estate. Why is there a limit? If you made an impression, first of all, you nailed it. If you left some lasting impression on the league, meaning Tom Flores, well, he played, he won a Super Bowl. He coaches an assistant, he was Super Bowl. He coaches the head coach, Super Bowl. That's kind of everlasting. He's in. He wore mink fur. Revolutionized the quarterback position from an era of ego. He became a movie star. He had a commercial where he shaved his legs. He was Joe Willie Namath. He's in. He made it. If you made an impression that changed the game, I think that is worth just as much as admitting some sportscaster, because they've got them in there too, or a general manager or an owner of a sports team. They're in. But these players, you can't, if you don't have. Well, Johnson, what are you talking? Well, I'm talking about if you ran for 2,000 plus yards in a single season, and you did that over a 12-year career, you're in. Your numbers are spectacular. But the other element, that's why I'm saying Joe Namath was in, because he was an icon. Everybody knew Joe Namath. Between Muhammad Ali and Joe Namath, they might have been the most popular athletes of that generation. They're in. Short of that, I don't understand the criteria, because number 88, Drew Pearson for the Dallas Cowboys, was one of my go-to guys as a kid, looking up to him and my little playing card and my NFL cards. Drew Pearson catching against his helmet before it became popular with Eli Manning in the Super Bowl. This guy was amazing, so I just don't know what they're looking for, but clearly there are restrictions to how many can get in, and I say hogwash with that. Bring in, who got in this year? 38 dudes. Good, bring them in. Add more real estate to the hall. build more. As long as they did something that was relevant enough to be considered Hall of Fame, and certainly Tom Flores is in that category.
Well, when Pagmeter was a little tater tot, I wanted to be a quarterback because of Joe Willie, and
I had to wear the white shoes.
I had to wear white shoes. I had my white shoes on, and before people were wearing white, I had to have them. The other one is
that explains another, it, by the way. You never changed.
Yeah, another position that it'll never. I don't know. It'll ever be in the Hall of Fame, but there's a guy that played 16 years in the NFL, the best fullback in the NFL, Lorenzo Neal. Hello?
He'll be up for it.
Well, he's sure better. Henry Ellard?
He's already been mentioned.
Yeah. Well, come on.
You'd be right, though. Yeah. Henry Ellard, when he left, was the leading pass catcher. He was the guy.
Mr. Mariposa?
That's a good one.
You know?
Logan Mankins? Logan is another one you might want to think about. Once again, okay. First of all, here's my automatic Hall of Famers. You're right. How many years did you say Lorenzo Neal?
16 years.
Automatic, he's in.
He played fullback before
fullback and shortened your neck
yeah.
game after game for a 16-year NFL career, 4 years in college, another 5, 6, 7 years of youth to high school football. He gets in.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you've all watched on Netflix the Aaron Hernandez story.
I have.
But it changed my when I watch this thing and we talk about illnesses, I changed my whole outlook on this. And has nothing to do with the CT. I'm not going there.
Yeah.
This guy was a nut.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Has nothing to do. And again, you want to talk about it? I think in the last one, have you watched them all yet?
I have, yeah. I've watched them all now.
The third one, was it the third? They said, well, look at the brain. We don't know what he put in this brain.
Well, I think we kind of do know now that he was a psychopath, yeah. A sociopath. He had problems as a child. We know that he also had a drug problem. We know that he had all kinds of issues. And, oh, by the way, yes, and including other things in his personal sexual life, we don't know, by the way, when it was all said and done, when he did whatever happened to him that everyone talks about, when he passed, when he expired, what happened to that brain, that beautiful thing that he had or didn't have upside inside the skull. No more will I ever trust, ever, any party that tells me that it's football related. Not when I watched that show. He had a lot of moving parts in his life. Lots.
Lots. And that's as well we've been trying to say when we have people we hear on the other shows.
Maybe you were born with that condition. How about that concept, you CTE experts? How about that you were born with a glitch in your head?
Well, the reason why I say that, because Lorenzo Neal played 16 years in the NFL, banging into people.
No, I guess no. When I die, Lorenzo dies. When you die, though, if you ask them to cut open, guess what you find? He did play football, didn't he? Yep, CTE. Don't forget the part when I tried to learn how to roller skate down a half pipe at 400 miles an hour. I cracked my head clearly wide open. Had to go in and get it all sewn up together. No, that wouldn't affect my brain. It was just purely football.
How about heat stroke? How about alcohol? But maybe those guys did drugs back in the day. Maybe it's just...
Maybe, just maybe.
We don't know.
But no one wants to trust my side of thinking anyway. They go with, well, the doctor said, oh, so they're always right.
Well, you know
so
why?
So those people that wear the lab coat, yeah. They're the ones who are going to set policy
well,
for me.
Well, because I guarantee they're sitting in a marketing department go, hey, we need to get some money, guys. How about Skippy's skateboard service? Ah, they got no money. Hey! NFL, let's go after it. NFL settles out. They got billions and billions of dollars.
Clearly, there is a cause and effect for the violence in the game that's played in college, high school, in the NFL, in the world of football. Clearly, let's not misconstrue my words. I'm not taking a blanket statement that we're all going to end up dying, because we will. And when you cut my brain open, it's going to show markers. Tau markers of protein that shows that I had something wrong in my head. Clearly, that's going to happen.
Football is still the great sport. It's safer than ever. Keep playing it, boys and girls out there. I want to thank Nick Anderson, Matty J, Helena Agra Enterprises, Fashion Furniture. Coming up next is the Coach Hutchins Coaches Show with Paul Leffler. Coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Have a great weekend, everybody. 940 ESPN, the Central Section Sports Leader.
Stay in the game.